Are you in Isaiah chapter 40 this morning? Find it. All right. I'm going to ask you to please stand for reading of God's Word. And I'm going to have you read with me just from 6 to verse number 9. But we're going to look at some others along the way this morning. And so don't close your Bibles. I want you to look at those as well. I'll read the first verse. You come in on the second verse with me and so forth down through the Scripture, please. Isaiah 40, verse number 6. The voice said, "Cry," and he said, "What shall I cry? All flesh is grass, and all the goodliness thereof is as the flower of the field. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, because the Spirit of the Lord bloweth upon it. Surely the people is grass. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God still shall stand forever. O Zion, thou bringest good tidings. Get thee up into the high mountain. O Jerusalem, that bringest good tidings. Lift up thy voice with strength. Lift it up, be not afraid. Say unto the cities of Judah, Behold your God." This morning I want to preach a message entitled, simply, "Behold your God." Father, today we come to you. Thank you, Lord, for the good music that we've already heard this morning. And the choir, the special, and the congregational singing. Father, my heart's been blessed. And Lord, I pray that you'd help now as we look at your word today and we teach and preach some things out of your word. I pray today for your help for me, Lord. Help clarify my thoughts, Father, and use, Lord, the words that I'll say this morning to be helped to your people. Lord, guide and direct, Lord. I pray that you'd have our hearts be opened this morning. And Father, give us a good service. Lord, I don't want to have a dead service or another routine service. Lord, we'd like to have you, Lord, meet with us today and speak to hearts. And Father, I pray that you'd help us, Lord, to be a great witness to this community. And Father, a lighthouse in this area. God, we need your help today. Father, we do lift up to you those who are sick. And Lord, we do know you're the great physician. And Lord, we are just counting upon you, Father, and relying upon you and living by faith that your will be done. But Lord, there are some people that need your help this morning. Lord, I pray that you reach down and touch these folks that we've mentioned today that are sick or injured. And God, I pray that you would apply your healing power and raise them up for their family's sake. And Lord, may your will be done in their life. This we ask this morning in your precious name. Amen. You may be seated. In our text this morning, of course, Isaiah is a prophet. And he's a prophet to Israel during the reign of King Hezekiah. He prophesies before Israel's captivity by the Babylonians. So he warns them, and in fact he warns several of the major nations at that time about God's judgment coming upon them because of their wickedness. And then in chapter 40 through chapter 46, he begins to prophesy about what's going to happen after the captivity. And so he's going to tell them they're going to go into captivity, they're going to be ransacked by the Babylonians, they're going to go into captivity for 70 years, and God's going to judge them. But then he preaches to them and prophesies to them just encouragement in their captivity and after their captivity. And Isaiah is a great book. Isaiah is like the Bible within the Old Testament. And it speaks a lot of the gospel. The gospel contained in the book of Isaiah. It speaks of the work of the Savior. It speaks of the redemption of man and the future kingdom of God. And so Isaiah is a great book to read. And I want to bring to your mind this morning Isaiah chapter 40. In our text today, verse number 9, where it says, "Behold, your God." Which means pay attention. Get a good look at your God. When I got married 100 years ago, and it has not been 100, but my wife and I, we've known each other longer than we have not known each other. We've passed that point in our life, so we don't remember ever being without each other. But for her, it's a good thing. And so anyway, when I got married, they didn't say to me, "Behold, rules and principles." They didn't say to me, "You now may kiss rules." Okay? You may now kiss some personal convictions and standards. Amen. They said to me, when I said I do, and she said, I plan on it. they said, "You may now kiss the bride." And that I did. And have been ever since. And because I didn't marry principles or standards or convictions, I married a person.
Right.
They said, "Behold your wife. Behold your husband." And I think today, I think one of the reasons today that we're losing people among our circles, among fundamentalism, whether it's a Baptist church or a Bible-believing church, but just good old-fashioned fundamentalism where you cling to the truth, is because for so long, many folks have been married to principles and convictions and not beholding the person. I believe that there's young people today that the reason they leave our church and the reason that they run to a different church of lesser standards is because all they seen growing up was standards and rules. Well, they fail to see the person. Today we don't worship standards and rules and convictions. Now listen, when I got married and they said, "Behold your wife," I gladly then said, "You know what, I don't want any other woman."
Amen.
That was easy. I gladly said, "You know what, I'm going to come home at night." I gladly said, "You know what, I'm not going to come home a drunkard or a drug addict. I'm not going to sleep around and commit fornication because I married a person, not some rules." And so, if you look at the gospel as principles and rules and convictions, it don't belong. And folks be like, "I don't want that. I'm just tired of that. I didn't get married. I didn't get saved to that." But if you look at Christ as you got saved to a relationship, to a real person. You know what? You know, I gladly now, loving Christ, I gladly want to come to church. It's not a rule, but it's because of the person of Christ. I want to read my Bible, and I want to pray, and I want to live right, because I'm not saved by principles and standards and convictions. I know Christ is the person, and He's my Savior. He's my friend. He's my God. And so, oftentimes, and listen, young folks, if I can challenge you to quit looking at church stuff and the gospel and the Bible and spiritual things as rules and principles, get beyond that and see the Lord Jesus Christ as a person. And that's how Isaiah was saying. He was saying, "Behold your God." He was saying, "Look at your God. Look at Him and see Him for who He is." Today, I just want to give you a couple of thoughts today. First of all, I want you to see, behold God's grace. Verse number 10, Isaiah, now he has prophesied for 39 chapters about God's coming judgment, that they're going to be in captivity. But then he said, now listen, don't get discouraged and don't quit on God. Listen, God's going to spank you for a little while because you've rejected Him and you've got false idols in your life and you've fornicated and all kinds. But God's going to bring you back. He's going to redeem you. And so he says, remember the grace of God. Behold God's grace. Verse number 10 says, "Behold, the Lord God will come with a strong hand, and His arm shall rule for Him. Behold, His reward is with Him, and His work before Him. He shall feed His flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with His arms and carry them in His bosom, and shall greatly lead those that are with young." Here we find that the Bible says that the Lord will come with a strong hand to deliver you. He's speaking to Israel. He's saying, listen, God's going to deliver you. He's going to come and He's going to feed His flock like a shepherd. He's going to gather His lambs with a strong arm. And there's not going to be any enemy that can stop Him from coming because He's coming with a strong arm. Isn't Jesus Christ our good shepherd? John 10:11 says, "I am the good shepherd. The shepherd giveth his life for the sheep." Jesus Christ came with a strong arm. He came and the devil couldn't hold them back and the enemy couldn't hold them back and all of hell couldn't hold them back. He came and He was born of a virgin and placed in a tomb, and though they tried to kill Him and they tried to slay Him, no man could and they could not, and He comes to give everlasting life. He's a good shepherd and He's gathering His lambs, He's gathering sheep together, and He offers not just life, but He offers life more abundantly according to the book of John. He's a good shepherd, and no enemy is too great to conquer Him. Behold today your God. Your God. This morning, if you've been born again and you belong to Him, He's your God. And Isaiah says, look at how big your God is. He's a gracious God. What a blessing he could scoop down as a good shepherd and gather His sheep. And then we find not only behold God's grace, we also find number two is this, behold God's greatness. Look at verse number 25 of Isaiah 40. "To whom then will ye liken me? Or who shall I be equal, saith the Holy One?" God proclaims here, and Isaiah preaches, he said, listen, look at your God.
Pay attention to God. See how big He is. And He says that there is no one like God and no one is His equal. There is no equal to God. He's a great God. Notice with me the bigness of God. Verse number 12. Who hath measured the waters in the hollow of His hand and meted out heaven with a span and comprehended the dust of the earth in a measure and weighed the mountains in scales and the hills in a balance. Here we find that the Bible says that God, we see His bigness. It is said, I read this the other day, it is said that there is 326 million trillion gallons of water on the earth. Say that again, there's 326 million trillion gallons of water upon the earth, and the Bible says that God measures them in the hollow of His hand. That's how big God is. And Isaiah is saying, behold, your God. I read the other day that the universe is said to be 93 billion light years in diameter. And the Milky Way is 52,000 light years at its radius. And God says He measures them by His span of His hand. The span is from this tip to this tip. And God can measure them, the span of His hand. That's how big God is. Isaiah saying, listen, Israel, we know you have burdens. We know we have troubles. We know you've sinned, but Christ is going to come, redeem you again. And behold how big your God is. You're going to be in captivity and the Babylonians are going to be ruthless people. And God's going to chasten you for just a little while, for a short time. But stay encouraged and cry aloud that God, behold your God. He can hold the waters in His hand and He can measure the heavens and the universe with the span of His hand, with His fingertips. It is estimated there are 25 billion stars, over 25 billion stars just in the Milky Way, and God has placed them all there perfectly and knows them by name. He said here in verse number 12 that God could measure the dust of the earth. It all comes in our house, I think. It is estimated that there's 40,000 tons of cosmic dust falls upon the earth every year. And it seems like this falls in Epworth, it seems like. My wife hates dust. She can dust one day and it seems like the very next day it's back where she wiped it off of. But God can take and measure that this with His fingertips. That's how big God is. The Bible, I read the other day that they estimate, I'm not sure how they do this, I'm not smart enough to know, but that Mount Everest is estimated to weigh alone 357 trillion pounds. Now, I'm not sure how they figure that out. I'm sure that Brother Tom or Brother Victor, who's smarter than I, can probably tell me how they figure that out, or Brother Caleb. I'll just take their word for it. But God said He's so big, He can place those mountains in His scale. And He measures them with His scale. But that's how big He, listen, Isaiah said, behold, your God. See how big your God is. God is able to weigh every mountain and every hill in His scale. Look at the intellect of God. Verse number 13, it says this, who hath directed the Spirit of the Lord, who being His counselor, taught Him. With Him took He counsel, and who instructed Him and taught Him in the path of judgment, and taught Him knowledge, and showed Him to the way of understanding. It says here that, listen, look at God. He says, listen, God needs no counselor and God needs no teacher. God is, He's a great God. He's a big God. We see His greatness. We see His bigness. We see His intellect that no one had to teach God. No one counseled God. In fact, God told Job, where were you when the foundations of the earth? Job, if you think you're so wise, where were you when I hung the stars in the sky? Where were you when I spoke the world into existence? Job, where were you? I need no teacher. I come behind in no small thing. Look at his strength, God's strength. Verse number 15. Behold, the nations are as a drop of a bucket, and are counted as a small dust of the balance. Behold, He taketh up the isles as a very little thing. And Lebanon is not sufficient to burn, nor the beasts thereof sufficient for a burnt offering. All nations before Him are as nothing, and they are counted to Him less than nothing in vanity. We see the strength of God. The mighty power of all nations are but a drop in a bucket compared to God. You know, I was listening the other day to the radio, and you know, of course, America has the strongest military force in the world. And I'm glad for that. I'm glad for what President Trump has been doing for our nation, put America first. I'm glad for that. It doesn't bother me that other nations think that we're crazy or they laugh. It doesn't bother me when they laugh at Trump. When France laughs, I'm pretty happy about that. You know, is that going to shake me up because they're laughing at our president? No, not France. All right. And we look at the other, he said, well, I don't like Trump. Well, look at the other side of the aisle. Yeah, a bunch of socialist communists, and they don't love our country, I guarantee you that. And they don't love freedom, and by the way, they don't love God. I thought it was kind of funny the other day, Pelosi was all mad because they referred to her as, do you hate Trump? And she said, I'm a Catholic, I don't use the word hate, I can't hate anybody. But she'll slay babies. Where's that in your Catholic faith? You withered old hag?
Come on!
I hope I didn't say that out loud. I think if anybody died in Congress and got left there, it was Pelosi. That is a night of the living. She looks like a zombie to me. But God, as great as our country is, let's get back on track here. No, don't judge me. Let me tell you something. You know what? I know we shouldn't always, you know, thank God this is not this world is not our home. But we got to live here, though. And if the Democrats had their way, they'd shut down every church like ours in the country. They hate God, and they hate our freedom, and they hate liberty, and they hate the gospel. If they ever got in charge, we'd see a lot of things change in our country. And so, I may not be the best Trump supporter, but I thank God that there's a guy in the White House that has some backbone and that will do something for the cause of Christ and for our nation as a whole. And so he's not perfect. Well, go look in the mirror. But as great as our country, as great as our country is, in the face of God, it's but a drop in the bucket. Of all military might that we have, God says, that's a drop in the bucket. It's nothing to me. Notice to me the authority of God. Verse number 21. It says, have you not known? Have you not heard? Hath not been told you from the beginning? Have you not understood from the foundation of the earth? It is he that sitteth upon the circle of the earth. The inhabitants thereof are as grasshoppers, that stretcheth out the heavens as a curtain, spreadeth them out as a tent to dwell in. God says, the Bible says that God sits on the radius of the earth. Heaven is his throne and the earth is his footstool. And he says, he's so big that the inhabitants of the earth are as grasshoppers in his sight. Listen, this morning, I just want you to see, behold your God. How big that your God is. Say, preacher, I've got problems. Preacher, I've got burdens. I got family situations, and I've got bills to pay, and I've got health issues, and preacher, I'm getting a little bit older in life, and things are not working like they used to. I'm going to tell you something, but your God's a big God. Amen. Behold your God. Sometimes we need to stop and quit looking at all the principles and the rules and the standards and the convictions, and look at all our problems and all our woes and our worries, and say, but let's look at God for a little while. Behold your God. He's a big God, a great big God. Notice with me, not just the power of God, but the presence of God. Verse 27 says this, why sayest thou, O Jacob, and speakest, O Israel, my way is hid from the Lord, and my judgment is passed over from my God? Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the Creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary, there is no searching of his understanding? Here we see God's presence. God says, listen, man says, God cannot see me. Jacob, what makes you think you can hide from God and hide from his judgment? God is, he's everywhere. God, his eyes roam the earth, searching to and fro. He sees everything. God is present with you. In fact, the Bible says that he'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. Hey, notice God's greatness, how big God is. Behold his greatness. He's everywhere. And listen, where you go, he goes. He's with you. He sees everything. He's not a small God that grows weary or grows tired. He's not a small God that can't keep track of his people. He's a great big God that sits on the radius of the world and sees all things from the beginning to the end. He's a great God. Behold your God. Notice with me, not just his presence, but his infinity. Notice the affinity of God. Verse 28 says, hast thou not known, hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary, there is no searching of his understanding. God says here the word of God says, God is everlasting. He's eternal. He has no beginning and he has no ending. He says about himself, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last. Say, preacher, I can't grasp that because God's too big to grasp. Preacher, I don't always understand that. He's too big for your understanding. But you can know him by faith. And God says, listen, God said, I've always been, I'm eternal God. He says, I am the Lord, the Creator, I'm the Lord. He's saying, listen, I am Jehovah, I am Jesus Christ, and I'm the Creator of the world. In John 1:3, the Bible says, all things are made by him. Without him was not anything made that was made. You know, I like to buy things made in the USA. If it's not made in the USA, it's not to be made, I don't think. I get tired of Chinese and Taiwan junk that we're supposed to like and buy. I just get tired of it. Not that I'm against China or Taiwan or those people. I just don't want to buy junk. You know, I like the good old stuff that you don't throw away, you fix it. And to repair it, and it stays with you forever. You pass it down to your kids, and you say, I'll take care of that. But the Bible says here that all that you see, there is nothing made that he did not make. Made by Jesus Christ. And here's how big he is. Now, when you and I, now listen, we don't create anything, by the way. Okay? Nothing's been created since creation. But when we make something or if we try to discover something, we have to do a lot of work with it. You have to work with your hands. You have to labor and till the ground and plant and all those things you have to do. But when God created, he was so big, he just spoke into existence. He said, let there be light, and there was light. Amen. And he said, let there be trees, and there was trees. He said, let there be plant life and the sun, the moon, and the stars. And he flung them in space with his mere words. And he named them by name. And he knows their names. He's a big God. And he said, I'm Jesus Christ. I'm the creator of all the world, heaven and earth. You know why? I'll tell you something. This is why one of the reasons why our world's gone crazy today. Because we have a few generations now that believe we come from monkeys. We evolved. No purpose in life. No higher authority in their life. No higher power. No God in their life. They themselves are their own biggest gods. And they come from a monkey and they're going back. I think we're in evolution reverse now. But you see some of the folks we see sometimes. It's like, well, evolution is backed up and put it in reverse. But he said this. Yeah, you work at Walmart, you know that. Yeah. This, you know, we laugh about it, but I just want to put a plug in here for the lost. You know why they're doing what they're doing? Because they've been told that they come from nothing. When you come from nothing, you're into nothing. And there is no God. They're trying to find some peace and some joy and some help. So they tattoo themselves and pierce themselves and paint themselves and put their face in a tackle box. Put the big old gauges in their ears. They're just trying to look for something that says, you're somebody and you're important. And when they come to this church, bite your tongue and shake your hand and say, glad to have you. Amen. Amen. Right. Now here's what Isaiah says about God. He said, listen, you can't understand him. He's too big to comprehend. He's too big to comprehend. Notice with me, he said, listen, he's so big, and he said, God's never tired or worn out. Last year I was called about this state trooper who fell and injured himself. And so I had a few things I had to do around the house, get caught up on some things. And so I jumped in my car and drove to La Crosse. That's a little drive from Dubuque. And I got home last night and I was worn out. I was tired. God never gets worn out, never gets tired. He's never, listen, there are sometimes, you know, a husband comes home from work and the wife says, you know what, honey, you know, the kids are upset. The kids are wild today. They broke this and this thing broke down and the washing machine is not working and the refrigerator is leaking water on the floor. And he's like, I'll do it tomorrow. You know, I'm just too tired to deal with it today. God is never too tired to deal with, I must have hit a spot there. God is never, some elbows going, God is never too tired to deal with your stuff. Never worn out. Never says, listen, ask me tomorrow about it. He doesn't wear out. He's not too tired. Now watch with me a second here. Notice with me is look at the greatness of God. Notice with me the foolishness of man. Look at verse number 18. We skipped that for a reason. Notice man's foolishness. To whom then will you liken God, or what likeness will you compare him unto him? Workman maketh a graven image, and the goldsmith spreadeth it over with gold and casteth silver chains. He that is so impoverished that he hath no oblation choseth a tree, though not rot. He seeketh unto him a cunning workman to prepare a graven image that shall not be moved. It says here, have ye not known? Have ye not heard? Hath it not been told to you from the beginning? Have ye not understood from the foundation of the earth? It is he that sitteth upon the circle of the earth. Here's what man tries to do. We tried to limit God and put God in our own image. Because man can't comprehend how big God is, they try to comprehend him by making idols and statues. And he said, here the goldsmith, he takes and he makes an idol, covers it with chains. And they take wood and they carve idols to them because they try to comprehend God, and we try to limit God. We put limits upon God so we can comprehend God. But we're told that we're just as grasshoppers. In fact, we're told in verses number 6 or 8 that we're as grass of the earth that withereth and fadeth away. But God stands forever. Says some Christian, you and I cannot comprehend God. His ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. Romans 11:33 says, oh, the depth of the riches, both the wisdom and knowledge of God, are how unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. But for our own sake, sometimes we try to put God in this little box, but you can't put God and contain God in the box. He's too big for that. The God that can take and measure the waters of the ocean in the hollow of his hand. The God that can take and measure the universe with the span of his hand. The God that can weigh the mountains. The God that can, he knows all this, he's created all the stars and put them in place exactly where they need to be. And he named them and he knows them all by name. I can't keep my own kids straight. He's a big God. And Isaiah said, listen, Israel, I know you're going to go through some hardships, and God's going to call you back out. He's going to redeem you. But while you're there, behold your God. Behold your God. See who your God is. Your God's a great big God. Christians today, if I can encourage you sometimes to step back and quit looking at your issues and your problems and your limitations, and don't put them up on Jesus Christ, because he's bigger than you are. And he's bigger than your problems. He's bigger than his church. He's bigger than our country. He's bigger than our world. He's a great big God. Why you doubt him? Why you doubt him? Why do you live in fear? Because we're a great big God. So we see, we behold God's grace, and we behold God's greatness. But now watch this. Behold God's goodness. Amen. Now catch this. God's a big God. Heaven is his throne. Earth is his footstool. He's the Alpha and Omega. He can say the beginning from the end. He's a creator. Every star he's hung exactly in his place, and no star falls without his permission. He knows them by name. He knows exactly how much water in the oceans, and he confines them to their space. He makes the sun to rise in the morning, set in the evening. He makes the air to breathe. Not one sparrow ever falls by them saying, there's a spirit that fell. And the psalmist said this, David said this, I consider the heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars, which thou hast ordained. What is man that thou art mindful of him? Amen. The son of man, thou hast visited him. Today, I want you to see, today, if I can see, say, do anything to help you this morning, I want you to notice how big your God is. Behold your God. And God is so vast and so big that we are but as grasshoppers in his sight, the Bible says. All the might that man has are a drop in the bucket to God's power and his authority. But God in his greatness, and God in his infinity, and God in his bigness, stops, reaches down, and visits man. He redeems the sinner. Look at chapter 41, verse number 14. Excuse me. 14. Fear not, thou Jacob, ye men of Israel, I will help thee, saith the Lord thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. You remember now, he mentions now Jacob. He calls him a worm. Jacob was the picture of the natural man. Then after God changed him, he called him Israel, picture of the saved man. And so now he says, thou worm Jacob. You men of Israel, I will help thee, saith the Lord. That's all capital. That's referring to Jesus Christ and thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. And so here we find the greatness of God, how big He is. He's so big that we are but as grasshoppers in His sight. He's a mighty God. He's an awesome God. But He has reached down to visit man and redeem them from their sin. He's the Redeemer of the sinner. Luke 1:68 says, blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for He hath visited His and redeemed His people. Titus 2.13 says, looking for that blessed hope, the glorious appearing of our great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for us, that He might redeem us from all iniquity, purify Himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. Here we find, again, this great, but let me tell you something. You know, when people get big and important, they get too busy to deal with this, the common folk. As much as I want to bring about our president, he's probably too busy today to deal with you and I. I don't know this morning if we could get even attention today from our governor. They're busy. Even our mayor. Probably too busy to deal with us. They got a job to do. And God, the creator of heaven and earth, the sovereign God, the Lord God, the King of kings, the Lord of lords, He holds all things in His hands, and by Him all things consist. Day after day goes on because God holds everything in place. But He's not too busy to redeem the sinner. He sent His Son to redeem us. Jesus Christ came with a mighty strong hand and died upon Calvary and defeated the devil and all the imps of hell and paid for our sins to redeem Himself a people that He loves. Of all that God could have, He said, I want you. And how great as God is, He stooped down and He reached down to deal with fallen man. So God is a redeemer to the sinner. He's a helper to the saint. Verse number 10 says this, of Isaiah 41, it says this, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. God is a help to the saint. He's a redeemer of the sinner, and He's a helper to the saint. He said, listen, believer, fear not. Don't be dismayed. But listen, God, don't understand my problems. You understand where I'm at. I'm in captivity. I'm in bondage. And Lord, I've got problems. But listen, this morning, behold your God. He's bigger than your problems. He's bigger than your debt. He's bigger than your worries. He's bigger than your health issues. He's bigger than your grudges and your bitterness. He's bigger than all that. Because where your sin abounds, God's grace has much more abound. He's a great big God that can handle what you've got. Sometimes it drives me nuts when folks will come to me and say, you know, give me their issue, and then I'll give them a solution from the Word of God. They'll say, but preacher, you don't understand. I guess not. I'm an alien that has no problems. You know, I don't understand. I don't have a wife and children and no problems. I don't have any bills. You know, if you're the pastor, you have no bills. You have all kinds of money and perfect health. You know, and all your kids are wonderful. Perfect. So we don't understand anything. You know, when I first got in the ministry, I was 27, so I was too young to understand. And for a short period there, you have to make it right with people. And then when you hit close to 50, now you're too old to understand. Preacher, you're out of the loop now. You're no longer cool. You're no longer suave and cool, preacher. You don't understand. God, listen, God is bigger than what you think. Think about that. As big as we think that God is, you have to add to that... way more than that. You can't comprehend it. And God said this. He goes, don't be afraid, don't be dismayed, because I will be your helper. You know, I like to work, but it's great to work with a helper. Man, it's great when you're out doing something, maybe outside, you know, when it snows this year and it snows in our parking lot. And the preacher comes here, the snow blower, to help to snow blow the parking lot. And some folks, listen, by itself it gets done. But when there's help, I get excited when there's help. Because I think, you know, if it snows at my house, it snows here, it snows at your house. So you don't say, well, preacher, call me, I'll come help you. Wait a minute, it just snowed. You know it's going down. We're shoveling somewhere, okay? And it's great to have, listen, Miss Luella likes to have a helper when it snows out there and her car gets covered with snow and there's a few of you folks drop by to shovel off her car and get it clean out because she likes a helper. But we have a greater helper than that. He's a great big God. We call Jesus Christ. Now wait a minute, young folks. If Jesus Christ is your helper, you tell me you can't not, well, preacher, I can't live here. You have a helper. Preacher, I can't live submitted to my parents and obey. You have a helper. Preacher, I just can't help myself. I can't stop looking at pornography. I can't stop fornicating. Wait a minute, you have a helper. His name is Jesus Christ. He's bigger than you, bigger than your problems. Bigger. He's a big God. He can help. He's your helper. Not only is the Lord the redeemer of the sinner, the helper to the saint, but he's also a rewarder to the servant. Look at chapter 40, verse number 30. It says, even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. Well, that's a good news verse, huh? It's coming a day when your youth's going to disappear. You know, my brain thinks I'm 19. My body says, no. You're not. In my mind, I'm still 180 pounds. My body says oftentimes, no, you're not 180 pounds. My knees and my back says, buddy, you've got too many people riding with you. So the young men shall utterly fall. Well, watch this, verse number 31. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. God is rewarder to the servant. He's the redeemer to the sinner. He's a helper to the saint. But he's also a rewarder to the servant. I just heard somebody snore. That's why I'm preaching, because if I was a preacher, I'd be snoring right now. Get on this side of the pulpit. It's better. Now watch this. This is interesting to me. God says, if you just wait upon me, and that's what a lot of folks think. They think waiting is sitting in the pew just doing nothing. Waiting is you wait and you serve. You wait and you serve. You're patient. God says, if you'll just serve me and wait upon me, you'll renew your strength. Mount up with wings as eagles. You shall run and not be weary. You shall walk and not be faint. God is rewarded to those who serve Him. And here's my thought this morning. Quit looking at the things of Christ as rules and standards and convictions and see Him as a person. Behold your God. You know why people get tired of church? All those rules that pastor preaches about, that is bondage to me. I got to do this, I got to do that. I'm in bondage. No, you're not in bondage, you're in liberty. But if you're just looking for rules and standards, you're going to get sick and tired of it. And I'm done with that. I'm going to hope where I can rock out and feel good at the end of the day. It sometimes looks tempting, doesn't it? Don't lie to me now, pious people. Sometimes that looks like, because sometimes we're all wrapped up in the convictions and the rules and the principles. When the Bible says, behold your God, quit seeing rules and principles and thou shalt nots and see God. He's a person and He loves you. And He's so big, the world can't contain Him. But He's so compassionate and gracious, He gets into your business. He knows, listen, if He knows the stars by name and sees the sparrows when they fall, God knows you by name. And He's in your business. Now, let me just close with this thought. Look back at chapter 40, verse number 1 and 2. It says, comfort ye my people, saith your God. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem, and cry unto her, that her warfare is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned, for she hath received of the Lord Lord's hand double for all her sins. What should we do for our, as Christians? We should comfort the church. What should we say to the church? Hey, church, God's people. Listen, God has delivered you from your sins. Your iniquity has been pardoned. Be comforted. Be of good cheer. We should encourage one another, knowing that God, the God of the universe, the God that's so big that we can't contain Him, and He cannot be contained, that He has pardoned you and I from our sins because of Christ Jesus upon Calvary. But then to the lost, we should warn the lost. Look at verse number 9, chapter 40. Well, verse 6 says, the voice said, cry, and he said, what shall I cry? All flesh is as grass, all the goodness thereof is as grass, the flower of the field. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, because the Spirit of the Lord bloweth upon it. Surely the people is grass. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. O Zion, that bringest good tidings, get thee up into the high mountain. O Jerusalem, that bringeth good tidings, lift up thy voice with strength. Lift it up, be not afraid. Say unto the cities of Judah, behold your God. But tell them, those of you that have been born again and saved. You say, preacher, what shall we say? God says, cry aloud. We say, what shall we cry out? We say, cry out to the lost, behold your God that loves you, wants to save you. Amen. He said, don't listen, you that have been blessed of God and redeemed of God, don't hold your voice back. Lift it up, don't be afraid of their faces, but cry out to the lost. Behold your God, the God of the universe loves sinners. Yes, amen. Can you redeem them from their sin? Amen. But listen, we ain't doing our business if we ain't crying out, behold your God. Let me tell you something. By the way, I'm going to go back to this again. You may get tired of it, but I don't. I like to preach. I like to preach about Jesus Christ. Amen. When I first met my wife, I want to tell everybody, listen, behold my wife. Well, it wasn't my girlfriend at that time. I thought she was, I want everybody to know, listen, here's my girlfriend, meet Tammy. I'm going to tell myself today because I wanted to really bother my wife today. So this morning is about 5 o'clock in the morning. I sung up to her. I said, I love you, Tina. I wanted to see if she'd wake up. She woke up. I'm not Tina. I know. I know it was bad, but it was funny. I don't recommend doing it, but. But I want everybody to know about my girlfriend, my fiance. This morning, but you know, I didn't see my wife as a bunch of rules. I didn't see her as only thou shalt not. I didn't look at my wife and say, you know what, if I marry her, I can't have any other wife in my life. All my girlfriends got to go to Texas. I didn't look at it that way. I get to marry the love of my life. and that's how we should look at God. It's not about a bunch of thou shalt nots and I can no longer. So I get to be saved and walk with the love of my life. He's God. And if He is God, wouldn't you want to tell other people about it? Amen. If you really have been blessed, and we have, shouldn't we stand up and cry aloud and not be afraid? Lift up our voice and say, behold to the lost, behold your God who loves you. Amen. Today, simple message. God is a great big God that cannot be contained. He's too big. But He gets down into man's business and He loves you. Walk with Him. He's a person. Young people, He's a person. Not just rules and thou shalt nots. He's a person. And if you just live your life in this church house looking at a bunch of rules and thou shalt nots, when you get 19 years old, you'll be gone. You'll be gone, I promise you. It's been done before in this church. It'll happen again. Because all they see is the rules. Rules. When God is a person. And He loves you. Lord, today we come to You. Thank You, Father, for Isaiah 40. And Lord, as I read Isaiah 40, Father, I was encouraged and, boy, it just thrilled me, Father, to behold my God, to look at Him, to study Him, to observe Him, to watch Him. And he realized, as long, Father, as I watch him and look at him, I cannot fully understand him or hold him in my hands. He's too big for that. But Lord, thank you for loving me, for dying for me, for redeeming me, for helping me, for, Lord, for giving us strength. Now, God, help us today. I pray, bless, Lord, our service. Lord, I pray that you would get into our hearts today. Help us to see you as a person, not as this bunch of rules and standards. Save the lost, Father. That's what I pray in your name. Let's all stand together this morning. Panel's going to play an invitation song. Today, if you're not saved, I invite you to come to the Savior and be saved this morning.